He sold all 10 dozen in 2 days. Back he went to Claflin for another round. They sold those too. Before long, he and Regina hired another immigrant just off the boat to help with the children so Regina could sew full-time, and another to serve as an apprentice. Lewis ventured uptown as far as Harlem, selling to the mothers in the tenements. He rented a storefront on Sheriff Street with living quarters in the back. He hired 3 more girls and bought sewing machines for all of them. He became known as the Apron Man. He and Regina were selling aprons as fast as they could make them. Before long, the Borgenicks decided to branch out. They started making adult aprons, then petticoats, then women's dresses. By January of 1892, the Borgenicks had 20 people working for them, mostly immigrant Jews like themselves. They had their own factory in the Lower East Side of Manhattan and a growing list of customers, including a store uptown owned by another Jewish immigrant family, the Bloomingdale brothers. Keep in mind, the Borgenicks had only been in the country for 3 years at this point. They barely spoke English, and they weren't rich yet by any stretch of the imagination. Whatever profit they made got plowed back into their business, and Borgenick says he only had $200 in the bank, but already he was in charge of his own destiny. This was the second great advantage of the garment industry. It wasn't just that it was growing by leaps and bounds. It was also explicitly entrepreneurial. Clothes weren't made in a single big factory. Instead, a number of established firms designed patterns and prepared the fabric, and then the complicated stitching and pressing and button attaching was all sent out to small contractors. And if a contractor got big enough, or ambitious enough, he started designing his own patterns and preparing his own fabric.